Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So today's readings, they follow kind of a theme in Matthew's gospel. If you remember the last couple of weeks, we've had different questions being raised by Jesus. Jesus asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? Asking about identity. Today, I think the theme is a little bit more about us. It's about who are we? Who is the church? Do you remember that little thing that your mother perhaps taught you? Maybe it was just my generation, I don't know. But that little thing where you had your hands upside down, right? You know where I'm going. So this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors, and this is all the people, right? My mom used to do that all the time, and I remember doing it in Sunday school even. Remembering that the people are indeed the church. That the church isn't about the building and the steeple, but it's about those gathered, the people there. The living stones, if you will, the community of faith, the family which makes up church. And as I think about the text for today, I am drawn to the analogy of church as a family. I like the analogy because in families, you know, it's not always perfect, right? Families can be a little gritty at times and challenging at times. Well, guess what? So can church be, right? I just had a wonderful conversation with some of our teenagers about the fact that, you know, do you feel like you're supposed to be perfect all the time because you're a Christian? Do you have to have it all together all the time because you have to be, because you are a Christian? Do you feel that need? And surprisingly, they said no. And I was grateful for that. But so often we think the church is perfect, right? In our head, we think we should be perfect, that there's never going to be any conflict. The wonderful reminder of Matthew's gospel is just the opposite. That there is going to be conflict. That there are going to be times that we are going to be reminded that we're not just joined together by the fact that we like one another. We are joined together by something greater, something more than just friendship and commonality, something bigger than us ourselves. We are joined together by a love that is at best unconditional, and at most times, it's often like the love we have for our family members. It's integral. It's so much a part of us that we don't question it. For it is a love that is something that is not of us. This is the kind of love that Paul, I think, is writing about to the church in Rome. A bit of what we heard from today. The kind of love that fulfills the law in its very essence. It's not the law itself, but it's the action of living it out. My mom used to tell me this all the time as a kid, not just about my sister, although she'd have to remind me about this with my sister, who's 5 years younger than me and was annoying as all heck at times, but also about my friends and sometimes about my cousins that would drive me a little batty. My mom would say, Angela, you don't have to like them all the time, but you do have to love them. Lord, did I hate that? Not only did I have to love them, but often after an argument, my mom would force my sister and I to hug, even when we were still upset. Angela, you don't have to like, but you do have to love. Just like every family, all churches, as a church, we have times where we don't always get along like we should. I think of it like a big Thanksgiving dinner. Sitting around the table, there's often people within your family that you would love to spend hours talking with. And then there's a few that you would rather just exchange a few words of niceties back and forth. In the passage today from Matthew's gospel, he's not just talking about those disciples who are gathered around Jesus in the immediate sense. In fact, Matthew's gospel is talking about the church, the wider church. For Matthew here is using a remembrance of Christ's teaching to in turn teach his church how to love each other and how to show love even when things aren't easy. Paul's letter to the church in Rome reminds us that it doesn't matter what laws and rules we have in place. if we don't underwrite them with love, they are worth nothing. Love is what makes us church. And it is love, the divine love, which helps us to deal with conflict when it arises. Our passage from today starts with a reality check. We start with the fact that every community has friction from time to time. In verse 15, it reads, "If another member of the church sins against you." That first word, that preparation that we use in our translation is "if," which makes it sort of sound like, you know, if it happens, maybe, perhaps, someday. Another word, a better translation, is in fact "whenever." In other words, it's going to happen. When it happens, then the next word is just as important, "go." When someone sins against us or wrongs us or harms us, causes us hurt unintentionally or even deliberately, we don't have to remain passive, the passage is telling us. We can work to bring about justice. We can work to bring about healing in the situation. Difficult things happen when we don't have to be passive. So the passage can also read, "Whenever your brother or your sister, whenever your brother or your sister sin against you, go to him or her and show him the fault or her the fault. But do it privately, just between you two. If he or she listens to you, you have won your brother or your sister back." In other words, don't just sit there holding a grudge, right? Don't just sit there gossiping and being upset and making situations bigger than they should be. Go and politely, gently, lovingly, and respectfully tell that person one-to-one what has grieved you, so that it doesn't need to be more public. And the goal of that action, the goal of our responsive action, is to bring wrongdoing to right. Never to punish, never to criticize, never to humiliate for the sake of your own personal satisfaction. To make it bigger than it needs to be is not what Jesus is calling here. I think the goal is to win back, as the text says. To win back sort of makes it feel like you're doing the action, you're doing the winning. I don't really like it, for it is God and the Spirit in the midst of that relationship that's offering the healing. So the goal is, I think, healing. Healing for you, healing for the relationship, healing for the wrong that has been committed. In the passage before what we heard from today, we hear a lot about sheep, how Jesus talks about bringing back the lost sheep, calling in the lost, never leaving them alone, to get the sheep before it wanders too far, to heal the wrong before it gets too big. Not to be legalistic about it, but rather to be loving. Sometimes, though, as the text reminds us, it's impossible to do it on your own. You've tried, and it's not been accomplished. So the next thing to do is to find one or two trusted people within the family to come with you together. Sometimes we need to have others in our lives to talk through something, to think about how to resolve, to help with the healing. And I pray that we know who those people are to turn to in those difficult times of hurt. But note that Matthew's gospel is not talking about the big situations, not talking about those complex hurts. He's talking about the small things, actually. Those little things that can cause conflict in our families. You know what they are. In my family, it was always leaving your wet towel or your clothes outside of the hamper. That drove my mother crazy. Or it was not unloading the dishwasher when I was asked to do so. Or it was not rinsing out my glass or the mug or rinsing my dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. I hated the dishwasher, by the way. Or perhaps it's drinking the last bit of milk or whatever it is in the refrigerator, not replacing it. It's about the little things that add up. And then the passage from today ends with this wonderful script, this wonderful story that many of us learned in Sunday school and still have it ingrained in us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. All throughout the Gospel of Matthew, this wonderful book, we hear that God is with us through Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. In the very first chapter of Matthew, for example, Jesus is named Emmanuel, which translates God with us. And at the very end of the book of Matthew, the last verse of the very last chapter, we hear Jesus make the promise to be with us always. So it's no surprise, really, that here again in the middle of the text, in the middle of this gospel, we hear the echo of that in this promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So here we are, offering a conversation about conflict in the midst of family, and Jesus reminding those listeners and us that whatever the conflict, whatever might arise, however large or small, there he is also. So when we meet on Sunday morning, when we meet in Bible study, when we meet over prayer, perhaps also meeting over the phone one-on-one, calling to share news, joys, concerns, or just check in on someone, God is there too. When we pray for an issue, God listens. And we come to agreements, God knows it. When we sit in disagreement, God knows that as well. And when we allow someone to stray away, someone who has not come back to the sheepfold, God understands, but God asks that we never stop loving and never stop seeking and aiming to bring them back and to show love. So the question, our theme for today is, who are you? Who is the church? You are a family in this place. You are brother and sister and cousin to one another. You are ones who lift one another up and support and pray for. And even more, you are not alone. You are not just this isolated island here on the corners of Dominus and Punahou. You are a part of a greater whole. But here in this amazing church family, here in our immediate sense, I had the opportunity to witness who you are sort of from an outsider's perspective 3 years ago when we were interviewing one another. You were interviewing me, I was interviewing you. And I had the opportunity to see from afar who you are as a family of faith. And now for the last 2 years plus, I've had the opportunity to see who we are as a family of faith from the inside. You know, when you're on the outside of a family, you only know so much. And here we are together as one. My friends, you are a community of faith who bring in the lost. You are a community of faith who treat one another with mercy and love. You know that phrase, a family who prays together stays together? I think that's a part of who you are as a family at LCH. God is with you and among you. In fact, opening up this passage from Matthew today in many a congregation could really cause a lot of bristling, could really cause a lot of discomfort in the pews. In fact, I have preached it before and someone has walked out. It is not easy to talk about conflict. It's not easy to talk about being a family of faith that isn't always going to be perfect. But that is who we are. That is who we are as a family of faith, imperfect and loving regardless. So, God is with you, God is among you in all that you do, and I pray that it may always be so that you are as aware as I know you to be about that presence of Christ in the midst of you and among you and through you. In Jesus' name, amen.